you know, we're in a time in our society now that leadership is very important. In fact, leadership is celebrated in the quality of our culture. Our educational institutions, they love to train leaders and to vet the success of their alumni. Companies applaud and reward their best leaders whose minds and spirit forge new pathways and sell products and makes tons of money for their board and their stockholders. Well, that's the free market, isn't it? Well, leadership qualities like initiative, innovative thinking, risk-taking, analytical skills, they filled countless resumes, and we have a mixed sense of both fear and admiration for thinking out of the box, you know, mavericks like Steve Jobs or Elon Musk. We know that for all the businesses' acumen and the charisma, they can also sometimes be just like over-the-top competitive. Well, we need these kind of people to stand ground and on important issues and invent and dream and think, to have the guts to forge new paths, to defend their turf, and to motivate others. But even leaders need to rein in sometimes to keep them from veering off into their own uncharted territory. You see, even leaders need an anchor. Well, the relationship that we see in the scriptures between Jesus and Peter is an interesting one. Sometimes it was very volatile, often outspoken, and occasional pushy. I can't say that word today. But loyal to the bone, that's what Peter was. Peter was a little rough around the edges of his character because he's got a fisherman's mouth, so to speak. You know, you heard about the old sailor's mouth. Well, Peter had a fisherman's mouth, a protector's spirit, an adversarial personality. But he also was loyal to the bone. And Jesus knew this, that's why he picked him. Peter is one who stepped out in front to defend the disciples on the Sea of Galilee when they think they see a ghost coming towards them on the water. Peter is the one who leaps at the man coming out of from Jesus, slicing off his ear in anger and protective impulsivity. Peter is the one who pledges to Jesus when everyone else starts to desert him and the others follow suit. Peter is the voice, the leader of Jesus' disciples. He's strong, he's able, and he's no doubt formidable. And he's loud, he's loud and boisterous. Well, he's the one with the gumption to challenge the status quo and to put Jesus' words into teaching and into real-time action. He's the one you want out front when you're being attacked because he's ferocious with a foe. He's the one you want on your side because he could be an overwhelming force if he's not. He's the one with the body of a bear and the temper of a tiger, but inside he's got the heart of a lamb. He's courageous, daring, even impulsive. But he's like a bodyguard to Jesus, and he's never going to let anything happen to his team or to his Lord. Jesus needed someone like Peter to take the lead among the 12. He would need someone like this to set the foundation for the early church. Peter the Rock would be able to do it, and Jesus knew that. He had all the attributes of a ferocious leader, but for him to do it God's way is not his own way, and it would be the focus of Jesus' mentorship of Peter from the beginning to the end of his ministry. By the time we see Peter being reinstated by Jesus on the shores of Galilee after the resurrection, Peter was still a force to be reckoned with. He gained humility and deference to Jesus that is instantly recognizable. In our scriptures today, however, we see the volatile Peter, and then sometimes even an out-of-control Peter, the not fully spiritually formed Peter. Instead of defending Jesus, he's arguing with him. Have any of us ever tried in the past to argue with God? I don't know about you, but I have. You know, probably you're not your best with the approach, although God will always listen to us and can bear the brunt of our tantrums. It won't affect God's decision. It won't affect His mission and God's love for others and God's plan. We learn about that the Jonah way, the hard way. You see, the scene in our scripture today begins with a discussion about the identity. Who is Jesus really? It's clear that Peter leads the disciples in answering, "You are the Christ." And at that, Jesus begins to explain what that means. And his explanation is not what the disciples expected. No doubt they expected Jesus to begin strategizing and taking over Jerusalem or for the fall of Rome and changing rulerships, perhaps even a revolution. But what did it mean for him to be the Messiah? They thought they knew, and Peter was sure he knew. When Jesus explained that the human one would suffer and be rejected, then be killed, and then rise from the dead, Peter not only opposed Jesus, but he grabbed him and he began taking him down, arguing and defying him and trying to correct him. "How can you say something like that?" Peter said. "We're not going to let that happen." Most likely, the defensive part and the protective part of Peter was coming to the surface. "Stop talking nonsense," he may even have exclaimed. "This is not what we signed up for," Peter may have asserted. Jesus put Peter in his place with one of the most powerful phrases we hear him use with his own disciples. "Get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking God thoughts, but human thoughts." So let's look at a moment about that phrase, "get behind me." Not in front of me, not in my face, not ahead of me, not equal to me. "Peter, you're out of line. Your role is not to lead me. I am your Lord. I am the Christ. Your role is to follow me. Get therefore out of in front of me and get behind me," literally and figuratively. Well, because following me always means getting behind or supporting his teaching, supporting his mission, which is God's mission, defending his direction and his path and encouraging, not discouraging or disparaging. So what do I need to bring God's plan to fruition? Well, in other words, if your petulance right now is a stumbling stone to his mission, how that must have stung. That shepherd's rod have stung not only Peter's pride, but his ego. Now, we don't hear another word for a while from Peter, who I can imagine in that moment realized his error in quiet and humility and deference, and he got behind his Lord. Would he had other moments when his own desires and imagining for a future kingdom would look differently than those of Jesus? Yeah, I'm sure. Because you know what they wanted. They wanted Jesus to overthrow the Roman government and the tyranny. But Peter recognized that he was the Messiah. Now, would he lose his cool again in the future? When did he know that he did it? You know, Peter was a very interesting person. And would he, after Jesus' death, go on to be the leader of the movement called the Way and establish the spread of the early church? You know he did. He sure did. You see, we realize more than ever in the scripture today that being a disciple is not a simple decision. It's a journey. It's learning. God chooses no perfect people. Now, even in our day and time, these many years later, God chooses able people with the capacity and the willingness to learn how to carry on Jesus' mission in the world in a powerful but loving way. So being a follower of Christ, and we are followers of Christ, those who believe and teach that Jesus is the Son of God, He is the Messiah, comes along with a lot of responsibilities, because being a follower of Jesus is about a tension of opposites. You need to be courageous, you need to be loyal, you need to be a wise servant, you need to be ferocious as a lion, if you would, but gentle as a lamb. You need to be a leader, but also know that you too are a follower. and can only lead others well to the extent that Jesus is leading you. When you're filled with the grace and the love of God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you become a follower of Jesus, a disciple. And it's not about getting it all right. It's not about never having faults or avoiding mistakes. Peter surely made a lot of them in his time, as we sure do in our day and time. But he makes them boldly. He is who he is, and he doesn't apologize for it. And we should not apologize for our relationship with God through Christ either. You always know where Peter stood in the scriptures because he's always out there. He's honest, authentic, even if you want mostly to see his petulant and pushy personality sometimes. But Peter is also called the rock of the church because his strongest quality in the end is not his leadership, but his humility in his faith. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up higher and higher. Wow. Followers of Christ, to be humble. Sometimes we make mistakes in the strength of personalities, in strength of the Spirit, but they're not the same. You could be a quiet person and be formidable force of your faith. You can change the world with a still, small voice. Or you can be like Peter, loud and boisterous, present with a loyal and humble heart, a heart of gold and an unwavering faith. God needs all of us. He needs all of everyone who is following him. He needs all of us to create the kind of kingdom that he has in mind. That's why we're all working together and trying to spread the good news and encourage people to have that loving relationship with God, to get behind him. For when Jesus leads the church, anything can happen. And I wager it probably will. He promised to come again soon, so we hang on to that promised hope to be able to give us the joy, the love, and the peace of keeping on, and encouraging everyone in the faith.